This is KWAI, Honolulu, 1080 on the AM dial.
March. What are you doing? Your pack has got your back as stiff as starch.
This is a mechanized war, they say. That saying is sure a bust.
Cause all that you see in the infantry is one another's dust. What are you doing? The infantry, you hike, you hike, you hike. What are you doing? The infantry, you left and right a blight.
Everyone else can ride a jeep or fly up in the sky.
But there's nothing to ride in the infantry, you're just a tired guy.
The hard way, the hard way. Sweat till you get there the hard way.
What do they say in the infantry? They squawk and squawk and squawk all about miles and miles and miles that they have had to walk.
They march across the ocean, and that's quite a trick to do.
But don't forget the Air Corps has done some marching too. What are you doing, the ground crew? You're always fixing planes. Never a chance to sleep and dream of beautiful G.I. Janes.
You're patching a hole in the fuselage or loading the bomber sticks.
What are you doing, the ground crew? You fix and fix and fix. What are you doing, the air crew, when the flak begins to scream? How can you duck when the bombardier's so steady on the beam?
How can you dig a foxhole or jump behind a tree?
Wouldn't you love to march away just like the infantry?
The soft way, the soft way. Try to crash land, brother, the soft way.
What are you doing? Your gas is gone and you're flying a thunderbolt. You hit the silk and say a prayer and land with an awful jolt.
You drop in a jungle and wrench your back. You're thinking of giving up.
Yet what do you mumble crawling back? It's hop, two, three, four. Hop, two, three, four.
It's time for the Carol Cox Show on K108, heard every Sunday from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. If you have questions for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080.
Good morning. Welcome to the Carol Cox Show, and we are happy to be back with you. So many issues, and just at the end of the second hour, I'll talk briefly about the eminent domain issue that was some of you may have heard being talked about this morning, and some of the behavior that the city officials we see they're doing, and I want to speak to that and speak about the failure of the media to scrutinize what the city and the state agencies are doing rather than serving as mouthpiece. They should do some studies and do their own homework. Anyway, what I have this morning is I have attempted to invite the Marine Corps base commander to participate in this conversation and basically, to paraphrase them, this show. In fact, I'll read his email. The commanding officer of Marine Corps Base Hawaii will not be able to participate in Sunday's show. While the base is aware of community concerns regarding aircraft activity, we do not feel your show is the proper venue to discuss this matter. We will continue working with local leaders to address the issue. please contact me with any questions. I don't know what I would be calling him for if he's not willing to come on the show and talk. I want him to talk to so the rest of us could hear this. But anyway, I have three exciting guests in the studio with me, and they look tired, weary, red-eyed, and not from drinking. They've been attempting to endure, like many of the hundreds of them in the homeowners over there at Kaneohe Marine Base and the surrounding area, to endure the loud noises generated by the aircraft and aircraft activity. So I'm going to shut up, and hopefully we have a good talk. 524-1080, so those of you that want to call in and say that they're anti-American and not support the troops, we'll take that up in another show. We welcome your comments, but just know that we're poised to somewhat try to tackle the issue and bring some closure or some relief to these people. They're not all complaining and thin skin. It's a reality. So good morning, the three musketeers.
Yeah, good morning, Carol, and good morning, folks. My name is Jim Crockett. I live in the area by the Marine Base. I was a pilot for 41 years. I am retired military and also a retired airline pilot. I flew professionally for 35 years, and I retired just a couple of years ago, and I've lived in Kailua now for over 35 years, since 1977. Who we are, we're the Windward Coalition. We're a group of neighbors living over by the Marine Base, and some of us are even a little farther from the Marine Base, but we all have concerns with the flight activities that are affecting our neighborhood. Our beefs are the late flights that are going on, the late flight activities, low altitude flying over populated areas, the formation flying that is being done over the populated areas. They have a traffic route for helicopters that transition the area, and they often do not fly the depicted arrival or departure chart provided them. All this is generating a lot of noise, and that's our big issue. We have health issues that will be talked about, and we have concerns about our recommendations and things that we bring up that just seem to be shined on. So we all know they can do a lot better. I'll go into some of the late night flight activities. Two nights ago, Friday night, for example, they had fighter aircraft taking off 3 o'clock in the morning. These operations were going. They were doing high powered jet engine run ups that continued for most of the night. Low altitude flights over populated areas. Civilian aircraft are required to fly at 1,000-foot AGL, and we just don't understand why the military can't abide by that rule. Also, formation flights over populated area. That's people still remember the two Marine A-4 jets that had a midair back in 1961. They destroyed two homes in Kailua, and they killed a 6-year-old little boy. Marines said they'd never fly formation over Kailua, but they're doing it again, and a good example is lessons learned are soon forgotten. Helicopter traffic not flying at the routes depicted on the departure arrival chart. The Fort Hosse arrival is what we're talking about. But my house where I live sits right up on a hill, right out the front gate, and I've got a better view of the traffic that is flying east and west. I have a better view than even the base tower does. The chart shows these helicopter traffic taking off and landing to and from the runway with a climbing or descending 270-degree turn. Rarely is that ever flown that way, and rarely is it ever to the runway. And instead, what they're doing is they're taking off and landing adjacent to the hangars. To do this, they fly a departure or an approach course that takes them extremely low and real close to civilian homes. This generates the loud noise that people are complaining about. If they would just fly the pattern, they could alleviate a lot of the noise that's going on. Mm-hmm. Health issues that we have, we have a number of them. Sleep deprivation being one of them. It's you can't have flight operations going on till 2 o'clock or 2 or 3 in the morning like they're doing and have been doing. It affects the neighborhood. Our concerns and recommendations again seem to be shunned, and like whenever we challenge any of the military's flight activities, we're told that whatever's going on is due to operational necessities. We know they could do better, but it's got to come from the command on down. Hmm. Sleep deprivation, one of the things. I Googled it last night to just see what it said about it, and it talked about impaired coordination. How you're now operating in a slow, kind of a slow motion deal, and it had a quick note right by this sleep deprivation. It said, if your job requires a high level of and split seconds decision making, then you're not going to be highly regarded a highly regarded asset for very long. It further states that driving alone increases your chances of getting an accident tenfold. The common symptoms are slow reaction times, blurred vision, and a whole lot of other things. And if you're interested, you could look it up. But what I'm getting at is that I've been retired now for a couple of years, but I flew with the airlines for over 30 years, and I have 5 good friends that are active pilots right now flying for the airlines, and they live within a stone's throw of the base. I can pretty well say that I know they didn't get any sleep Friday night because nobody in the whole area got any sleep with everything going on. And what I don't know is, did they have to work the following day? Probably a couple of them did. And, you know, how do you think their motor skills were that day? I know we owe a lot to the Marines, but the military owes a little bit to us civilians, too, like maybe giving us a good night's sleep. With that, I'll hand it over to my partners here, Eileen and Julie. So thank you very much for your attention.
Yes. Hi, I'm Julie. I'm from a military family, Marine and Navy as well. Sons in the military, husband and myself as well. I've lived at my current house since 1994 inside the bay. I rented first for 4 to 5 years before I bought it. When I rented, this was not happening. This did not happen. This did not start occurring until after what McCain called the surge. Once that started, then planes started coming into the bay more often. The C-17s from Hickam, whatever was at out at Barbers Point started hitting into the bay. The Coast Guard started coming into the bay. And it's just a continuous circle and continuous noise. My house has been buzzed out of nowhere. My granddaughter started crying. She thought something was crashing into the house. The dogs run for cover. You don't get notice of when it's going to happen. It just buzzes the top of your house, ear-piercing, and you don't have time to go and get the 2-year-old and close his ears. So what is that doing to his hearing? A couple of things I'd like to point out is I think if they ignore us, we're going to go away. And their philosophy seems to be, well, we'll sacrifice a few for many. I do know what the military is capable of doing with the community when they do it, but to go, well, we're really good neighbors, and then do this, they're not good neighbors. If my neighbor next door did this, or any kind of loud music, if there was a fight next door and he was having an argument with his wife, dial 911, they're going to come and tell him to knock it off. It's you're a bad neighbor. Now, I've called them a couple of times and said, you know, you go out the back gate there, and there's all these signs saying, well, you know, you can't chant. So I've asked about that, and I was told that, well, we have to be mindful of our neighbors on that side. So I don't see how they're comparing chanting and singing to fighter jets over the top of your house, P-3s, and now P-8s and possibly Ospreys in the future can be compared to singing of a group of troops. I mean, I just don't get it.
Hi, I'm Eileen. I'm the secretary of the Windward Coalition, and I'm also a physician. We live in the area and have suffered from the sleep deprivation, so even though I'm from New York and usually speak very quickly, even though I did get a few hours sleep last night, it was better. I'm talking slower than usual. I'm interested in telling you about what their stated policy was and seems to still be, because we've never heard any different. And this is from a noise abatement newsletter back many years ago, but it seemed to suggest a kinder and gentler time. And it was from J.W. White, and it came to all the residents of Kaneohe Bay through the Marine Corps. And their motto at the time, and still is probably, is tranquility and progress through action and understanding. They actually put noise meters into everyone's homes around the area that requested one and said any concerned citizen who would like to participate in this study should contact us. They also looked at engine test cell renovation because, as many of you may know, it's extremely disturbing to hear these droning noises going on for hours and hours and hours with engine testing and then engine run-ups. It's also very interesting to look at this and say, you know, what was their conclusion? And their conclusion and their policy is the continuing goal of the Marine Corps Air Station, Kaneohe Bay, to take requisite action to eliminate all unnecessary noise caused by aircraft operations. And it is my desire that through our action and your understanding of mutual problems that we can strengthen the community bond between Windward Oahu and the Marine Corps Air Station, Kaneohe Bay. So that doesn't seem to be being followed. I distinctly feel that it is not being followed. Many members of the community, including some of our elected officials, have had meetings with the Marine Corps for a long time, over a long time, and numerous meetings, and we've been told things would improve. And we gave them lists of exactly how we thought they could be improved without any kind of impact on their mission. These were ignored, essentially. I think there is a call coming in. Mm-hmm.
Just a moment. Good morning, caller. You have a comment, a question? Hello? Caller, you there?
Oh, yeah, I can hear you now. Is that a cue for me? Hello?
Yeah, go ahead. You have a comment, a question?
Yes, I do. I probably have a pretty bad connection here. I'm calling on Skype from overseas where I work. I'm a resident of Okapulu and a good friend and colleague of one of your panel members there. I believe he's on your panel this morning. And I'm sorry I can't really listen to the whole thing because I'm doing this off the computer. But like myself, he's a retired military aviator, also a retired airline captain with a major carrier. And he is a terrific source of knowledge on the current policies, procedures, and alternatives that could be made to work for a win-win solution.
Mm-hmm.
My name is Morley Gray, and the panel member I'm referring to is James Crockett. And
you drifted. Maury.
I apologize for that. I'm a Kailua resident working overseas as a contact for the government.
Mm-hmm. You drifted there. You were a little broken up there. If you can you just send me an email? We can read it over the air. Carol@carolcox.com, being that you're on Skype. Or you want to try repeating that?
Yes, sir. I'll try to do that. And again, our bandwidth isn't so good. calling you from overseas,
right?
Regarding one of your panel members. And mm-hmm. He's just a wonderful source of knowledge on the current policies and procedures and things that have worked and not worked in the past. He's been a resident there for over 30 years at Kaneohe Bay Drive, and just a wonderful source of knowledge on all of the aviation noise-related issues affecting our neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wanted to get that out. Well, thanks again.
Okay, well, thank you, and we'll post this up at the 1025 today at carolcox.com, carolcox.com, and I, too, agree with you that all of the people over there are absolutely outstanding, and they're just seeking relief from something that didn't exist and was placed at their laps, and they're simply asking to take management of it. They're not asking the military to go away. They're asking the noise to go away. So,
exactly.
Anyway, well,
and
thank you.
There's a win-win solution there somewhere, and we just have to put some knowledgeable heads together to find it.
Okay.
And, again, I appreciate your efforts in airing this issue. I'm a resident of that area for about half the length of time as some of your panel members here. And I congratulate you on getting this aired. Thank you very much.
Thank you again. Aloha.
Aloha.
Good morning, Carl. You have a comment or question?
Yeah, good morning. Yeah, I just got up, and I've been listening about this noise problem. Listening to these people, I think they're not going to solve the problem coming on this show. I think they have to get in touch with our wonderful congressional delegation in Washington. These are the people we elected to solve some of our problems. They go there, then nobody bothers to ask some questions or help with specific problems, such as the noise at Kaneohe. But I'm a fixed-wing pilot and a helicopter pilot, and I live in the Barbers Point area. When Barbers Point was active, we had constant aircraft flight, and I love the sound of aircraft. I'm different, but since Barbers Point, they moved to Kaneohe, we don't have as much aircraft noise other than the Coast Guard. We're under the flight pattern for their C-130s, and that's not that frequent. But they're even considering of reactivating Barbers Point again by when they bring the Marines from the east. Mm-hmm. So what is going to happen in all these new developments that have sprung up, luxury homes up in the $2 million range,
right,
are going to be affected by increased flight patterns by Marine aircraft.
Right.
And what are they going to do after buying a $2 million home near an airport?
Well, you know, Ed, one of the things, and thank you for calling, but it affords me the opportunity to ask this question. Why could the military come and participate on this show instead of a citizen like yourself having to call up and remind us that, as the commander did, said in 1918 things were different and we were out in the country, of course. But if that's the case, we then should introduce logic to this entire process. These people are not wrong. Yes, you're a fixed-wing pilot and a helicopter pilot, and some of us can endure things, but some of us have sensitive jobs and children that have medical problems and on and on and on. And
yeah,
so you can imagine, and I appreciate your – it's.
Well, I'll make one more comment.
Go ahead.
We've got Honolulu Airport right in the midst of highly populated areas such as Kali. And I don't hear any people complaining because the amount of traffic that comes to Honolulu Airport is – tremendous.
One second, Ed.
If you live on Dillingham Boulevard or in his house, you know, there you get the aircraft, although they've changed the flight patterns. You have them take off, take a right. Once you take off, going Diamond Head from the reef runway, I've flown off of there many times. You have to take immediate right turn.
Why would you have to take a right turn? At first, you could turn anyway, correct?
You want to get away. Reduce the noise and the accent potential because
there's
a huge accident.
Stop right there.
World War II and many people were killed.
Ed, when you call in, at least take a breath and let someone else inject. This is not the Ed Talking Ed show or whatever.
Yeah, because I can barely hear you.
I understand. I appreciate that and apologize. But listen, if you're sharing with us that at the Honolulu Airport, initially they could turn left or right, but they start turning right, requiring them to turn right to mitigate the noise. Could you allow that the people sitting in the studio are simply proposing similar actions are asking that people divert. So they're not being extreme. And the same measures that are employed at Honolulu Airport could be, or similar actions taken to reduce the noise. That's all they're asking, you see.
Well, and I understand. So one way's fixed, and you can only turn right or left.
I understand that.
And depending on the wind conditions, you either go from east to west or west to east. You could take your takeoffs may go towards the residential areas in some cases, depending on wind conditions.
Okay. All righty.
Anyway, thank you. I think they should take their complaints to our wonderful congressional delegation and get a meeting with them and see what they can do to get commanders at Convoy to, help with the problem.
Well, Ed, they've reached out to many legislators and all. Just as you know the process, they come on the show because this is not the last effort, or they're not desperate. This is one of many efforts. So stay tuned and help us out on this one. Go ahead.
Carol, I was listening, and I can appreciate somewhat of what he's saying, but, I've flown in a helicopter, and I had the earmuffs on and stuff. You don't hear in there, loving the sound of freedom, what the people underneath you hear. That's the first comment I'd like to make. The other one is, I have checked with the Honolulu International Airport with two different sources. I called and I spoke to a lady who was very supportive of the military, and when she found out why I was calling, she suspected. She says, I support our troops. Well, we all do. And I kind of told her what was going on, and I asked specifically, I said, what is your protocol over there for flights? And so basically what I was understanding from the two different sources I've checked with is they don't have flights that go out after midnight or in before 7 a.m., to allow people to sleep. Now, if there's a plane that, of course, had mechanical difficulties, that's a fly-in later and stuff, things like that happen. She said they get the biggest complaints right now, which is increasing, is the small aircraft and the helicopters. So they do get complaints about that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But having the protocol, and I've heard this twice. One I heard midnight to 8 a.m., and the other one was midnight to 7, that they keep the planes out of the air and flying in and buzzing on the top of these people's houses. If someone in that area there is listening, perhaps they could call in and tell us, is that a true statement or not from the two sources I've had. But, I had to get an emergency flight out of Honolulu sometime back, and I checked with every single airline trying to contact someone. There was no one there after midnight, and I could not get a flight out, and it was United at 8 a.m. the next morning. So there was absolutely no flights that were scheduled like that to go out.
Mm-hmm.
So I know that somewhat that must be a true statement. So, I can hear what he's saying, but I can appreciate, the sound of freedom. If you got earmuffs on there in a helicopter, you don't hear what the ground's hearing.
Good morning, caller. You have a comment, a question?
Good morning, Carol. I used to work at Marine Corps Base Hawaii, and I attended a neighborhood board meeting, Kaneohe Neighborhood Board meeting, Benjamin Parker School last year, and I think it was October. We had somebody from Marine Base Hawaii, spokesperson, Captain Marshall, I think her name was. I listened to her. She said, we do have a hotline. I think one of your guests talked about the hush house, that they had over there by the part of the base where they used to put their engines there and test them out. And I live way far away from the base. I still can hear that sound, that engine just roaring and whatnot. And it's amazing. I feel sorry for these people and the people that live around Kaneohe Bay and Kailua to hear this noise. I wish our congressional delegation can do something to put pressure on the Pentagon or something. Have anybody talked to the commandant of the Marine Corps or contacted him to see what he can do? Because this colonel seems not to be very helpful at all. He's just avoiding the issue. And I think he should go to the commandant. I used to work in retail at the exchange. I used to meet these high officers, commandant. I think it was Kulak before when he was a four-star general.
Mm-hmm.
Nice guy, short little general. But, if I ever run into a commandant, I'll tell him what's going on because it's ridiculous. But
right.
I feel for your guests and the people that live around Kaneohe Bay. I have relatives that live there, and they're suffering.
Thanks for your comments there. Go ahead real quick. She's going to respond to you, Eileen.
Yeah, hi, this is Eileen. We wrote to the colonel, the commanding officer, and CC'd Admiral Locklear, the commander of the Pacific Fleet, Cecil Haney, the commander of Pacific Fleet, Lieutenant General Roebling, General Amos, and the Secretary of the Navy. We never got a response for 2 months. Finally, after 2 months, and by the way, some of our letter is online on our website, windwardcoalition.org, and you can take a look at the letter, and you can see that we basically said we met with you, we discussed things, you said you would look into them and change some and adopt some of our suggestions, nothing happened. And this included acceptable route of helicopter traffic, minimum altitudes, operating hours, quiet hours, run-ups. I know there's a call coming in, but I just want to let you know that we finally did receive a response after Carol Cox asked for it. And he can speak more on that, but the response was kind of not very great.
Yeah, okay. Hold that thought, and we want to try to balance this because you got some good points and all of you.
Thank you.
We're not going to let hold of. Thank you for calling. Aloha. Good morning, caller. You have a comment or question? Good
Hello?
Morning, caller. You have a comment or question?
Hello?
Yes.
Hi, Carol Cox.
Yes.
Hi, my name is Kahu. I'm a reverend from Kailua. My name is Ricky Bermudez.
Mm-hmm.
I lived here for 50 years.
Okay.
We've been bothered by low flights, and I've been at the neighborhood boards from Wamanalo Neighborhood Board, Kailua, and Kaneohe. We've been dealing this from 2008. I have letters out to the congressional delegates from 2008, and it says, please expect my further correspondence upon receipt of reply. We've been waiting. We sent letters out to Inouye, Hirano, Hanabusa, Kaka. They haven't done anything for us. We're still waiting.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, they're in violation of the Clean Water Act of Compliance, NEPA, okay? Right now, they're having problems with the soldiers committing suicide, okay? They got to call Carmen Griffin. You know, we have an illegal war. We have Desmond Tutu asking for Bush's war crimes against Bush, you know? We got all these issues. We got the Waimanalo Neighborhood Board asking for the Bellows land back. We have a standoff in Okinawa Base where the military is still trying to get the they have major complaints here. You see, it's causing traffic jams, delays, frustration, sewer lines, detours. The courts had to get involved. The ruling party, they almost pulled out because they couldn't close the base. The biggest issue, genocide, okay? They're bringing 2,100 and something troops, and we still have homeland issues. We have 3,000 Hawaiian people still waiting for land, houses, and they're going to bring people into our island and put houses for them?
Mm-hmm.
You know, mm-hmm. We have, I stayed last week in Kaneohe because I heard all what was going on. People were calling me. I stayed on Kaneohe Bay Drive. I couldn't sleep for 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
So right now we have some major issues. I'm asking for no fly zone, and I'm also asking for noise ambient laws to be abated, which means they need to shut the noise down at 6 o'clock period. If not, we need to close that base down,
mm-hmm.
or we need to create a moratorium to close it down.
Mm-hmm.
Those guys are disrespectful and they're not listening to us. And again, we've been dealing with this from 2008. Thank you.
Thank you. Aloha.
Hello?
Yes, good morning, caller. Comment or question? Go ahead. Do you have a comment or question?
I do. My name is Pam Isayama, and I live along the bay, and I'm a member of the Windward Coalition.
Mm-hmm.
And I just would like to ask some help from your listeners. You know, if we have a problem with a neighbor, the first thing we do is we go and talk to our neighbor and tell them.
I can't hear you.
Our neighbors, the Marines. We have tried many times. We've met with them. They talk to them. Things they say will get better, and they remain the same or actually have been getting worse. I think we have more problems than we've ever had.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know what to do next. I would ask people that are listening to please join our coalition. I think there's power in numbers, and we need to know where we can go next, what we can do next.
Mm-hmm.
So if people would join us, I think we become more and more powerful.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you. Any more?
No, that's all.
Okay, hold on.
Hi, anyone who's interested in joining the coalition, you can sign online at windwardcoalition.org. Or email us at windwardcoalition@gmail.com. And thank you very much for that comment.
Thank you, Pam.
Yes.
All righty.
Welcome.
Good morning, Carl. You have a comment or question?
Yes. Hi. My name is Ann Duramo, and I live in on Kaneohe Bay.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, I had a couple of things. And I also am a member of the coalition, and I agree that the more people we have, the more effective we may be. And definitely that, you know, our political representatives ought to represent us. That would be very nice. And, you know, we had sent, it was said that we had sent the letter to the commanding officer. And I read the letter that he sent back to us, and what amazed me was that he totally didn't pay any attention to any of the suggestions that he made, even though, as I think Eileen had said previously, he had said that he would consider our suggestions. He didn't even mention our suggestions. He basically sent a letter telling us, you know, all of the nice things that the people at the base do, which is very nice. But as other people have commented, that's not all it is to be a good neighbor. He did not respond to what we had asked him to respond to. And I feel that that is very disrespectful of all of the people in the area. And I would like you know, the panel maybe to talk a little bit about that, and also to talk about the federal laws that were passed that state that that Congress has stated that it recognizes that each person should enjoy a healthful environment, and we are not being given a healthful environment. And definitely the Marine Corps has, in the past, as Eileen again stated, has made their policy that they would work with us, and they're not even following their own policies and also their own procedures as far as the flights go.
Mm-hmm. I see. Well, we're definitely going to take that letter that I will go and say personally, in my opinion, it's really not a letter. It's more of a stick in the face or a slap in the face to just go away. We are the military, and we do whatever we want to. And I think my personal opinion and observation is that they got that, and here's why. When one bring home the pork, when our senators and congresspeople bring home the pork, the problem is while they're getting the pork, they strip away any conditions, and they're leaving the citizens vulnerable to anything goes because they want to bring home the pork so that they can then boast that we brought home the pork. But pork without conditions is fattening and can cause problems. So diabetes or loss of hearing, you understand. But anyway, and we are going to talk about this and to demonstrate to those that are listening out there, while you may not live under the runway or even be affected as you think, we will take this as a template and lay it over many places, whether you're at Pearl Harbor or whatever. If they demonstrate and behave the same way, you're stuck. So we're going to definitely dissect this letter, and it was such a joy. Some say it's an insult, but I was just thrilled when I received such a letter to say that this subject is, and the Carol Cox Show is not a place to discuss it. That's borderline dictatorship, and talking about the letter that's sticking your face, what gives a colonel in the United States military to tell a free-thinking citizen and a free citizen that this is not the place? We need to check on him, and maybe I'll be writing a letter to the Inspector General to ask. Maybe he needs some sensitivity training. So anyway, thank you.
Thank you.
All right, any more? You got any other comment?
No, but as I listen to the program, other things may come up.
All right, call back. Thank you.
Carol, I'd like to make a couple of comments here as I was sitting and listening. The caller that called in, the gentleman, I think he said he was a preacher or pastor. And he makes a very good, excellent point about the land use. You know, the Hawaiian people struggle to have land and stuff, and then he goes, well, they're going to move all these people in, and we're going to build them new houses, and they're going to take all the land. So he makes a valid point there. The other thing is, I was sitting here looking at the environmental impact statement, and they've got in their statement, the military, is that the predominant land uses in the immediate vicinity of MCBH Kaneohe Bay include low-density, single-family residential development. You know, I take offense to that because there are several apartment complexes, one right outside the front gate of the military, Yacht Club Knowles and that other, I mean, that all those apartments there. And then when you get more in the Kaneohe side by the Windward Mall, you've got Pu'uli'i, all of that stuff there, those apartment complexes. So, you know, I'm trying to find out who did this study. I'm a little bit baffled. But I've got one more comment that I take a lot of offense to. With their PAO officer, Pamela Marshall, who made a statement. You know, I went to one of the meetings there at the Kaneohe board in the Benjamin Parker School, and I raised my pencil, and I had a question, and I wanted to know about the hush houses and the test engine, which she didn't seem to know very much about, but she was going to go investigate that. Now, I missed the next meeting because I was out of town, but I have the minutes to that in front of me, and it says hush house, and this is, I'm understanding Captain Pamela Marshall reported the following. And she states here, hush house. After an investigation, MCBH does not have hush houses as a resident claimed. Well, that would be me. But I've got a piece of paper here, and it is a list of the buildings on the Marine Corps base. And on one particular page, there is a building set for demolition, and it is the engine test cell building. So if I can very easily go to a website and get this information and she's done an investigation, I just have to say, you know, what are they doing over there? They don't know there's apartment buildings around them and they don't know about their hush house.
Now, when you say hush house, so the listeners will know, that's what is a hush house?
Well, it's a building that they contain the test cell in there and they put it in there. Now, I did
test cell for what?
For the engines that, okay. Yeah, for the engines they do. Now, I went out and researched. Some university is had constructed one of those, and it was double blocks and stuff like that. Now, I don't know what's inside their test cell because obviously I've not been inside that building. But if you have a test cell building there, I've never heard this noise before, and all of a sudden I started hearing. That's why I started questioning, what is that sitting on the end of the runway out there in Westfield? I'm told it's the test cell. But based on her investigation, I take offense to that. What does investigation involve? I mean, I can get it from a website.
I wanted to second the fact that there definitely were hush houses, and there are at other airports, and many airports have noise remediation programs, which include enclosing testing of engines, and maybe Jim can talk about that in a minute. I did want to go back to the last caller, who did describe the letter issue. So we did write to the commander. And the CC that was sent back seemed to have nothing to do as well. The CCs on the bottom of his letter seemed to have nothing to do as well with the letter that we sent him. They were sent to all of the congressional delegation, all of whom have never received it, at least reportedly on the phone. So it doesn't seem like anybody got this letter. We finally got it through Carol's inquiries. Over two months after we had sent ours. I know it was the holidays, but that's a little bit off-putting.
Well, we're definitely going to talk about the CC issue because it suggests that the CC is more the failure. It speaks to the integrity of that process, of that administrative process there. Let me get this caller. Good morning, caller. Thank you for waiting. Any comments or questions?
Yeah, I just hope that all these people who are complaining about the situation have some aloha for the military families who have to live on the base proper and are subject to the same noise since they're living right next to the runways and are probably having the same sleep deprivations and noise hearings, and they have elementary schools there. I don't know if they're soundproofed or whatnot, but they must have the same questions as the residents have as far as a noise problem. And I don't know of course, when you're military family, you cannot complain.
Exactly, Ed. Right on, Ed. Right on for you. That's one of the most brilliant things you've mentioned, and that's the point. The benefit of having free people speaking out, because you have a captive audience. Maybe they are banging their heads against the wall. The soldiers are, and the families are,
I don't
being
know
impacted.
About that, because
well, wait, wait.
To the military
stop.
Community,
Ed,
they'll be there for 3 years, and
Ed,
they'll move to another naval
Ed,
station,
Ed,
military station.
Ed, Ed, when you offer comments, at least allow others to offer you some insight.
Okay.
I agree with you, Ed.
Well, I'm just trying to make it short.
I know, but no need. I don't want you calling up and just throwing out thoughts of trash. At least stay aboard
and
relax.
Talk about the commanding officer.
Well, no. Wait 1 second. The benefit of having this group is that, to speak to what you talked about, is that there are soldiers there, and if they spoke out, they may be disciplined or punished or retaliated
Absolutely.
Against. So when you see an entity such as this Windward Coalition, you can't just poo-poo them and then preach that on one hand we got to love the soldiers and all. Maybe this is an act of love. Why don't you just allow for that just for 1 second? Maybe they're not just worried about themselves. Maybe they are. Eileen is a physician. The other gentleman is a pilot. He's flown in and out of there. So let's approach this with a little more delicacy rather than just...
Okay, can I make one...
Yeah, go ahead. Always.
About the commanding officer.
Help yourself.
The commanding officer has a mission, and his mission is to train his pilots and his people. His mission is to maintain equipment, which in readiness, which means testing.
Mm-hmm.
And he probably has a time frame. We have wars that are going on. Of course, they're winding down. Let's hope after we're out of Afghanistan, we don't have any more troops out. But the training and the testing must continue for readiness. That's all I have to say.
Though. Hey, thank you, Ed. Thank you. All right.
Hello?
Yes, good morning, caller. Go ahead. Come in a question.
Hey, aloha.
Yes, go ahead.
Hey, this is a...
You there? We lost him.
Of the testing and the...
Go ahead, caller. Go ahead.
Hello.
Yes.
Okay, I'm calling to respond to the last caller when he talked about the testing and... Anyway, I'm a member of the coalition, and we all agree that, yes, they need to test and they need to do all of the things that they need to do. It's the way that they're doing it. It's the time frame that they're doing it. You know, the people on the panel talked about them doing it, you know, all late hours and early in the morning. It's not that they don't have to do it. I mean, darkness starts, especially in the winter, darkness starts very early. They don't have to start at 10 o'clock at night. They can do it. So, the letter that the coalition sent to the officer, the commanding officer there, addressed those issues and made suggestions on how they could still do their training. We're not asking that they don't prepare their soldiers. We're just asking that they do it in a way that is in consideration of the neighborhood
right.
around them.
Well, wouldn't it be nice if the commanding officer found it important or to incorporate the thought that the Carol Cox Show, as meaningless or as whatever insignificant he may have placed us or characterized this show, it would have allowed him an opportunity to give his thoughts, the military's thoughts, and their purpose and let them defend it. But instead, we have people calling up defending for him and who are really ill-informed or ill-advised. And it's just, it's unfortunate. So it speaks to the nature, and it demonstrates how this commander and this base has been operating. Remember, I'm the same guy, the Carol Cox Show, that found that they had a radiation or isotopes on the helicopter that laid out in the bay for months. And so it's not, you're right, it's not significant, but my goodness, the things we do uncover would probably rise to the occasion. Maybe that's why he didn't want to come on. And especially when he look at this panel and he see the makeup of that community out there, he knows that the best thing, the way he to get his mission done is just to ignore them, because they're some very sincere, sharp, intelligent, hardworking people. Might I also add, they are Americans too. So I saw like 9 flags on my way through Kaneohe yesterday in the civilian home, so I don't know what that means. So anyway, go ahead.
No, that's all. I just wanted to comment on that. And also, if they could speak to, you know, the idea again of, you know, exploiting the few for the many, which is no longer allowed under the NEPA.
Right.
You know. I think that's all for now. Yeah.
Okay. And we're going to have to take it up in the second hour because we're coming down now to the...
Okay, great.
And
okay.
Feel free. In the Kahu, they call... call back and let me pick up one call just for a moment. Good morning, caller. Real quick, your comment or question? Good morning, caller. Real quick, a comment or question. We're going to close down this hour.
Okay, my comment is that the aircraft noise has not only continued but accelerated over the past few years, and I'd like to know why the military has not addressed this issue.
Okay. You there? Okay, thank you. Anyway, we're down real quick, real short.
Okay, real short. On the NEPA Act, it's very important, as the caller noted, that this is basically something that's against the law to ignore the fact that people's their important historical, cultural, national aspects, an environment which supports diversity, all of these things are being ignored. This is NEPA. Also, that they are, Americans should have safe, healthful, productive, aesthetically and culturally pleasing surroundings. And Julie very quickly wanted to talk about the fact she lived on the base, and other people who do not really hear the noise as much as we do.
Okay. Yes, I lived on MCBH myself, and I've lived at Laurel Bay, the Buford Air Station in South Carolina. And this did not occur over the housing area unless they just said, oh, there's her house, let's miss it. I did not hear this. Mm-hmm. So that is an incorrect statement. I have been out there at the exchange system, and I've seen the C-17s in the air, and you don't hear them there.
Jim, real quick.
I would say I flew 9 different types of aircraft out of Kaneohe Marine Base over the years, and we did not fly over the base housing at that time, and I've seen aircraft that fly over civilian houses, but again, we did not fly over. So there, the noise that we created over there on the Marine Base at base housing there was not anywhere compared to the noise that the civilians are getting out the front gate.
Okay. Well, we'll be back in the next hour, carolcox.com, 524-1080, and caller, we'll catch you in the next hour. We'll be right back.
Me some money too. offer me is a drink of gin. Why don't you do right like some other men do? Get out of here and get me some money too. Why don't you do right like some other men do?
Okay, welcome back to the Carol Cox Show. We're here at KWAI 1080 AM, and it's always a pleasure. And I do apologize to the callers that are calling in. It's ringing off the hook, and I'm trying to push the buttons and also talk at the same time. But imagine that. It calls for some talent. But I'm not making excuses. I'm kind of slow. But the thing is, imagine this now. At one time, remember there was this, quite often we turn on the evening news and we'd see a police chase. And at the end of the chase, there'd be 10, or 5, or 6, or 1 innocent bystander killed in this chase. And then to make matters worse, this chase was initiated because the person failed to signal a lane change or some minor infraction. So police departments, while it is true they were chasing a criminal, they had to temper their efforts and use common sense to not trigger, make something more worse than it is. And sometimes you just have to let it go. In this case, I know it's not quite exactly the same, but when you claim you're training troops and all of that, here's what I say. The environmental impact statement that was done spoke specific to what, guys, the Osprey?
Yeah, the MV-22.
The MV-22. That was the environmental impact statement. But what has happened here recently, as I speak, there is an ongoing maneuver. What is that maneuver called?
Oh, the
Lava Viper.
Right.
So Lava Viper, I'm told, if I'm not mistaken, and you folk were the ones alerted me, that these are a squadron or planes from another base?
I believe it's Miramar.
Okay, well, wherever they're from, so do we have that much room that our guys could have such big heart to invite more noise?
Well, you know, they've had RIMPAC, excuse me, they've had now Miramar, then they turn around and have the Blue Angels and stuff, so it's like no break for the community.
Right, and then to make matters worse, they had, we talked about it, they had explosions for the big concert and all of the smoke and the fumes and the fuels and what have you. So basically, I question this claim that they're doing this all in the name of training the troops. I think what is happening, the checks and balances are missing there or absent. And at a minimum, from this effort, I'm hoping that we revisit and establish, you know, responsibility and checks and balances at that base.
Yeah, Carol, I was stationed with a fighter squadron for 5 years over in the Marines in the 70s, and I'm a Vietnam guy. But anyway, what we did, we were flying F-4s, and we had these exercises, and we had some late night exercises, and we had RIMPACs too. But what we did then is we repositioned the aircraft over to Barbers Point, Kauai Loa, and we had them at Hickam there. We worked with the Air Guard over there, being a fighter pilot also, or fighter squadron also. But we did this in the past because we knew we were going to do these late night operations and things that would be affecting the neighborhood. So we moved them out of the Kailua area and put them over there where it was less of an impact to the neighborhood over there. And I don't know why this can't be done today. It probably could.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm going to discuss a little bit about the letters that were sent out. And one of the things that we state in our letter very clearly is that while we recognize that military training and readiness are important for national security, we're simply attempting to limit unnecessary and preventable noise without impact on their mission. Mm-hmm. And that's the most important part. And so some of the things that we were very concerned about were the helicopter routes, their altitude, the time of operation. And we had several possible solutions, including routing them the way they are supposedly or had routed them in the past, where they mm-hmm. didn't fly over civilian homes. They were flying north of Naupua Ponds. And these issues had been raised before numerous times and at meetings with them, and they said they would look into it and see whether or not they could enforce them again. Mm-hmm. And review the tracking logs that the tower takes. Mm-hmm. for compliance, because mm-hmm. they keep on asking the community, what kind of aircraft did you see? Do you have a video? Well, how do we know it was ours? And it was 2 o'clock in the morning, and you couldn't read the writing on the back of the air, and did you recognize the airplane? And so it's very, very difficult for us to call in a complaint with being taken seriously. We don't think we're being taken seriously, and it's really not our job to video and to document exactly what type of aircraft it is. When they have records of all of that, they know who's flying when, and if they don't, they should.
Right.
And then bayside noise and pollution. I mean, our house stunk of kerosene-type smell. Mm-hmm. In the last 2 weeks, it was unbearable. And yeah. these things are carcinogenic in animals. They don't know yet in humans, but they think they are, and they certainly are not pleasant to live with. You know, we've been accused of not sacrificing enough for the military, and I think that really comes down to the statement that one writer wrote in and said, you know, exploiting the few for the many and calling people unpatriotic because they don't want their health or welfare disturbed is really not allowed under current laws. And that's the Clean Air and Water Act and the Environmental Protection Agency and the Council on Environmental Quality. I mentioned NEPA before, and what that stands for is the National Environmental Policy. This is a policy, and this is law.
Mm-hmm. I'm Naupua Pond, you were referring to.
Yeah.
Very fragile, very important to the ecosystem there. They seem to have... And I'm going to ask Jim to speak to the Fort Hosse approach that, as you described earlier. But I'm beginning to suspect that noise and has an effect on human beings. It makes you insensitive. It makes you not want to listen to the public. It makes you – I suspect there's a correlation there.
Well, it has a definite health effect, and I think that's been ignored, and it has an effect on children's learning,
yeah,
which was poo-pooed when mm-hmm. I mentioned that.
But there's a caller here. I'm sorry, caller. I was going to go into that. Let me shut up and invite you on. Good morning, caller. Come in a question.
Yes, hi. I think the letter that we got back from the commanding officer was really rather insulting because it did not address any of the issues that we had posted in our letter to him back in November. And in our response, we wanted to be sure we weren't just taking to be as grousing about noise in general, like the crows are too loud or, you know. No, we were very specific.
Mm-hmm.
And we did that in four specific areas of this area, the ones that are specifically abused. What is the source of the abuse, and what are some constructive things that he could do in each area to mm-hmm. minimize the effect on the community so that he would try to be a good neighbor?
Mm-hmm.
And he put that in his letter also. He wants to be a good neighbor. And an example I can give is if we have a man living on our street and he belongs to Rotary, you know, the Little League, Chamber of Commerce, he has all of these credits, but he has four barking dogs that bark around the clock. We have ways to call 911 and have that stop, but the means we have to talk to him is first to try to be reasonable with the commanding officer and also to try to help him in finding solutions.
Mm-hmm.
Route 1, the Naupua Pond, he has said to us in person back in April that his rule was on the north side of the helicopters and any other vehicles going that path, minimum 500 feet, Incidentally, we checked and his air ops manual says it's 600 feet. But anyway, north end of the pond, minimum altitude of 500 feet, and he would try to have quiet periods and have that happen only during normal hours, normally 8, 9 o'clock in the morning till 8 o'clock at night or something. So that was our suggestion for that problem. Problem two is what Eileen mentioned, and that's the South Bay area, directly south of the field. The offensive things are the engine test cells, and our suggestion was, can you find any way to move that test cell to the north end of, to the north end of the runway on the ocean side, where it won't be so abusive to anybody because it would be way out on the end of the base. And as for the helicopters that come in through the Nupia Pond, much we don't understand this, but we see it every day. Instead of coming across the pond at the prescribed altitude and location, normally the north end of the pond, instead of going directly to their hangars, or at least swinging around a very small turn, they sweep all the way around down H3 and come right over Kaneohe Bay Drive and all of those homes, and then go back to approach their hangars. We said, this doesn't make any sense. Why are they swooping down in that direction? What was our suggested solution? That the Marine Corps put some buoys in the water, mounted buoys in the water, which defined the limit that they should go from the base in making their turn into and out of the helicopter hangars. Third area of abuse was the bay in general. It's a recreational bay. We pointed out it has never been declared a military training area, and yet the Marines do conduct some exercises out there which are interfere with our peaceful enjoyment of that beautiful bay. So those activities should be curtailed or do them somewhere else like Bellows or the Pig Island or other ranges where they have, like over at Kauai. Fourthly is the landing traffic on the runway. And that traffic is primarily caused by excessive downwind legs left by landing aircraft. So that it was mentioned on the program a minute ago. Well, we don't see that effect on this side of the coalition. I can assure you, they see it. If you live in Haia, or on that side of Kaneohe, you do see it. You see it every day. Again, what was our suggested solution? The Marine Corps put some buoys in the bay, letting pilots, whether they're local pilots or visiting pilots, know them. This is the extent to which your downwind leg should go before you make your left turn and go to make your landing. We recognize that much of that landing traffic and a lot of the noisy traffic are C-17s, U.S. Air Force C-17s, which come over from Hickam. And the reason they do so is because those airplanes are built to land automatically. So the guys that sit in the cockpit get very little hands-on landing training, knowing they must use it someday if the automatic system doesn't work. That also means they're not very skillful in their piloting, and so they want to make a very, very long downwind leg, so they have an enormous 3-mile drive in to the final landing. That's the way a junior pilot does it. That's not the way a senior pilot does it. When your landing point is on your left wing, you start your turnaround and your descent and come in. Why is this so abusive over there? Because when they're in that configuration, the flaps are down, the gear is down, the engines are operating at full power to keep the airplane in the air, and that just makes it even more of a menace to that side of the bay. So those are the four areas, and we've been very clear, trying to help the colonel and give him our best guess of these specific problems. We're not just grousing about noise in general. We're talking about four specific sources of noise. And here's what you could do about it. Mm-hmm. Now tell us what you think about it, and he wouldn't tell us.
Right, and he wouldn't tell you. And this is Colonel Brian Anichi Rico, I think. I may have just slaughtered his name, but it would have been nice if he was here. He could pronounce it, afford us that occasion. But hey, thank you. Any more comments?
No, thank you. I just wanted to clarify a few of those things.
All righty. I appreciate you calling, and I'm sure the listeners out there appreciate it. It gets us closer, and it will demonstrate that these are just not a bunch of 99 boo-boo. This is reality, and yep. The people's experiences are a reality.
And thanks for what you're doing.
Hey, thank you. Appreciate it. Aloha. Jim, or either of you, go ahead.
Well, Carol, I'd like to make a mention about, the military cuts that are being proposed in Washington and stuff, and when they go, okay, we need all this stuff, but here we're going to have to do some cuts. So my question then becomes, well, why are you wasting all that fuel by just going round and round and round? I mean, we're flight simulators. Can't we, like, get some flight simulators in there? And if we're going, if we're fighting with drones that are unmanned, I mean, I don't understand why we're flying around with a bunch of manned aircraft going around and around the bay. I mean, I don't think, let's save some jobs, because if you're going to put freezing hires from this, and you're going to get rid of contractors from the military, and you're going to get rid of the temp jobs over there, let's save some jobs that they're so big on saying that we provide jobs for the community. Well, let's stop the wasting of the fuel, and let's put it to jobs.
Jim?
Yeah, just the last caller that we had talking about the helicopter traffic coming in from the east on this Fort Hosse arrival. It's they're flying this whole Fort Hosse arrival. It's been around for 50 years or more. It's obsolete. It was constructed or designed when there was when there wasn't the buildup of houses and people living in the area that this thing is flying, that this thing, you know, and goes over. The Marines are flying this at an altitude that's used for non-populated or built-up areas. This 600 feet is on their charts is too low. The civilian aircraft that go through here have to maintain 1,000 feet AGL above the ground over populated areas. And I don't understand why that the military can't fly this altitude. Also, one of the things that needs to be done on this arrival, the helicopter arrival, it needs to be modified. It needs to stay north of the Napua Ponds, and it needs to be flown at an altitude of 1,000 feet. Mm-hmm. The 600 is for a non-populated area, so and that's not going to change anything drastically over there. Those pilots can you know handle that 400 foot difference.
I see. Got a caller. Caller, you can call back or if you'd like to. But I want to speak to this, first of all, this letter. When you wrote your letter on, it was dated November 23rd?
Yes, it was.
Who are the, can you read off the list of carbon copies that you sent it to? I just want to try and demonstrate to the listeners out there how irregular or consistently or predictable. I think that the colonel has become enamored with the fact that he's a colonel and he's a military and has a mission. And while I appreciate and respect, I served in the military and don't want to dishonor rank or anything, but I think at some point we need to know that there are some sensitive aspects of this, and you can't just declare this is mine and you go home and stay away. But just to demonstrate, first of all, they didn't respond to you in a timely fashion, and what we learned was that they claim, and I offer that and underline that, they claim that they sent it out, but it may have gotten mixed up in the administrative handling or mailing it or whatever, you know. So that's suspect, but then you can't go around being suspicious of people. But I want to try and lay out something here to show the consistent nature of this that calls in the questions. Here, Eileen, can you read the list of carbon copies?
Okay, well, I'm just going to quickly, I repeat them, because I had Admiral Locklear Haney, Lieutenant General Terrell Roebling, and General Amos, and the Secretary of the Navy, Ray Mabus.
Okay, now they were mentioned. That's who you sent your carbon copies to when you sent your original letter to the colonel.
Yes.
But the colonel then responds, he didn't send any those people on the carbon copy that you'd sent, and logically you would think he would want to let them know that he is responding to you. Oh, in other words, okay, boss, I got this under control, and I'm taking care of this. But can you then read us the list of carbon copies that he sent it back to, his response to you?
Officer O'Brien Schatz, Senator Akaka, Hirono, Hanabusa, Laura Thalen, Jill Takuda, Clayton He, mm-hmm. Chris Lee, Cynthia Thielen, Ken Ito, Jessica Woolley, MCICOM, MCI PAC, Office of Councilman Kaka Anderson.
Ikaika Anderson.
Ikaika Anderson. Oh, he did send to the Sec of the Navy and CMC.
Right. So I believe, looking at this, was simply a rush, and I'm, it's my opinion, and I'm suspicious of many things. I suspect that this letter was not done in a timely fashion, and you then have followed up by calling this list of carbon copy people that he claimed that he sent to, and the indications are they have not received any of this this letter either from the colonel, correct?
Yes, yeah, that's correct.
Okay.
Yes.
Good morning, caller. You have a comment or question?
Hi, Carol. My name is Joan, and I wanted to call and thank you and the neighbors, concerned friends and neighbors who have come in to talk with you this morning. I'm sitting here enjoying the peace and quiet, which I had expected from Hawaii, mm-hmm. by the Marine Corps base being silent this morning. Mm-hmm. The noise has been unbearable. I do work with the coalition as well, mm-hmm. and I think that the unresponsiveness of the organization of the military to our requests and even comments has just been actually almost demeaning, because they really don't care what we think.
Mm-hmm.
So I just like to bring that to the attention of the people that are involved in it, that they have just ignored the populace. The government thinks that they can overrun us because they are the government,
right.
and the Marine Corps base thinks that they own the place. So
right.
that's very disturbing to me
right.
as an individual.
Right.
I just wanted to call in and let you know that.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for your time. Bye.
Carol, I'd like to point out something else with the receipt of the letter. When we got together and decided to do the letter, it was mailed out professionally, and we did it certified mail so that we ensured that they got it. That was not the respect back to us. Matter of fact, they had to scramble to find one. And so, you know, that's not professional.
Yeah. Good morning, caller. You have a comment or question?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to say I live close to the base. I'm an old lady, and I haven't been very well. And this last 2 days has just put me down on the bed. It's just awful, how horribly this noise is. So I just wanted to call in and tell you that I'm on board with the Women Coalition also. My name is Corky Shulman.
Okay, and thank you. And how are you feeling today?
Not very well, but it's okay.
Well,
I'll let you know.
I applaud you for enduring the Carol Cox Show.
Hey, you're welcome.
Thank you.
Bye.
Go ahead, Ivan.
Yes, I just wanted to give preliminary results on the survey. There is a survey on our website.
That you conducted?
Yes, it is conducted by SurveyMonkey. Actually, we conducted it, but SurveyMonkey, it is anonymous. We asked people to fill it out. I know you have a caller, so maybe I'll wait on some of these results if you want to take this call, but we have preliminary results.
Caller, go ahead. Good morning. Thanks for calling.
Well, I just had a quick question.
Yes, ma'am.
I know that I think it was Julie that talked about the quiet hours for the or someone that talked about the quiet hours for the Honolulu airport, the public airport. And I was wondering, do Hickam and Wheeler, do they have quiet hours, or do they go, you know, hours during the night like Sunnyway Bay does?
Yeah, they do have quiet hours at both Hickam and Wheeler Air Force or Army Airfield now. The quiet hours at Hickam are 7. They start at 7 o'clock. They change the runway or have you landing on runway 4 if you're coming in. Versus runway 8, which takes you over the housing. And up at Wheeler, flight ops cease up there in Mililani area at 8:30 in the evenings. It used to be that, and I'm pretty sure it hasn't changed.
Mm-hmm.
So Kaneohe, I don't know. They fly a lot later, and maybe we should get them more in line with the other fields that are here.
Yeah, that sounds like a very good idea. Thank you.
Thank you for calling, Carl. Go ahead, Eileen.
Okay, there were some preliminary results so far that have come in from the survey, which was mailed to households by the postal office all through the last few months, and we're still in the process of sending them out. Some of them were hand-delivered because there were so few in that postal route. However, we have 404 respondents from areas including Kailua, Akahi, Kaimalino, Waimanalo, Kaneohe Bay Drive, Kaneohe Town, Haia and Kahalu. And there are other areas as well, but that's the predominant. I'm just going to tell you that there were numerous questions, 15 or 16. Many people that answered were in the military or were retired military. As it was anonymous, we did get some response from those people that actually were surprising. We don't know who they were. We just know what their occupation was. Mm-hmm. And the big question that I always look at is, does aircraft noise adversely affect the quality of your life? And 64.6%. Or 255 people said it did. And the other big question at the end was, do you consider Kaneohe Bay and other areas that are residential suitable for plant increase, which is really what we want to tell our legislators, mm-hmm. because there is another environmental impact statement and another plan coming out this summer. So we want them aware of whether or not their constituents, okay, the voters in the area, want this. And 63% did not, and 11% were not sure. Mm-hmm. We will be sending out the results of the survey as soon as we get final mm-hmm. input. Mm-hmm. The other thing is I wanted to read some comments. One of them came in. I'm sorry. He has a caller. Go ahead.
What I want to give a plug to the website so that this information that you're speaking about is at WynwoodCoalition.org, WynwoodCoalition.org. And you can email to WynwoodCoalition@gmail.com. And they have a blog also, so I would – it's very well done, and it's a meaningful – I think I applaud you guys for – and we need to maybe take this show on the road and teach other communities how to organize. And it seemed to be, I know you're tired, Eileen, and Julie, but this is, I applaud you for this effort. And I've not seen anything like it. And I hope that the colonel and others and the legislators take notice, because you're in this game to play and stay. Get this call and we'll get back on that subject. Good morning, caller. Thank you for calling.
Oh, hi. I was an earlier caller. I just wanted to elaborate a bit on the Nupia Pond helicopter activity specifically. I am a pilot. I'm a 28-year pilot. I know altitudes when I see them. And the commanding officer told us that his rule was 500 feet or no lower than 500 feet. It was pointed out just a few minutes ago on the show that 1,000 feet is better, and that's certainly true. Having the helicopters instead go out and end through the runway directly to the ocean would be an even greater solution, because then we don't care about the altitude. But the helicopter activity that we see and we stand and watch is helicopters swooping directly over our houses, which is the south end of the pond, at 100 to 200 feet, like they're throttle jockeys of some kind. And helicopter pilots tend to get that way, unfortunately. We own the sky, and we're going to show you how. Mm-hmm. But when they're all the way at the other side of the pond, from what the colonel described, and they're running at 100 to 200 feet, you can feel the dishes rumble. Secondly, the last few flights that we've had were double-rotored helicopters, and the answer the Marines gave us was, those weren't Marine helicopters, those were Army helicopters, and they're involved in the exercise on the Big Island. That's a very lackluster answer, because before every exercise, anyone in the military knows, they have a pre-exercise meeting where all the ground rules, whether they're ground on the ground or whether they're affecting aviation, are gone over in detail, and the pilots who are going to fly on that exercise have to subscribe to those rules, which are the rules of the airfield commander in this case, and which are being blatantly abused. And now the public affairs officer has responded to our phone calls, one, by just not even noting that the call, if the call has come from that number before, and my neighbor across the street calls regularly every time he sees one of these abuses. Eileen very brilliantly connected us with the FAA noise abatement office over at the airport, and so we called, make the call to the FAA, who do log every call and who do then check with the Marine Corps to see that they've also logged it. And the second call is to the Marines, giving that same problem. So these kind of double-sided answers and activities are equally alarming.
Mm-hmm.
Because they, and furthermore, the PAO, the public affairs officer at the Marine base, told our neighbor a few weeks ago, he was complimenting them on the fact that some of the helicopters were actually flying over the north end of the Nepia Pond.
Mm-hmm.
And her answer was, they are not required to do that because the commanding officer has not put that route in writing.
Mm-hmm.
They are doing that out of courtesy to our civilian neighbors.
Wow.
Hello?
Yes, yeah.
Can you believe that kind of
yeah.
an answer? So in other words, they know the rule, they've heard the rule, they haven't seen it in writing, and so they feel they can, some of them do it, some of them don't. Some of them want a throttle jockey because they know it's not in writing and come directly over our houses a couple hundred feet. And so the whole story gets, it just shows, I think, a lack of clarity in the commanding officer and what he's telling his people,
mm-hmm.
knowing that the wing commander who owns all of those helicopters has to be responsive to the base commander because it's a host-guest relationship, and the wing and the helicopters are guests on that base.
Ah.
The commanding officer is the host.
Okay.
And so that relationship is also either being ignored or the host just isn't saying clearly and in writing what he wants. Regarding the writing thing, my response to that when I heard it from one of the Marines was, okay, let me get this straight. We've got a colonel, and he's in a ditch somewhere in Afghanistan, and he's got 20 troops with him, or call him a major. He's got 20 troops with him. He said, okay, we're going to take that hill. And we're going to take that hill in 5 minutes. And the troops turn to him and say, but, sir, we don't have that order in writing. We can't go take that hill until you put that order in writing. Come
mm-hmm.
on.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Anyway, that's my comment.
Well, thank you.
Okay.
All right.
Got it.
Good morning, caller. You have a comment or question? Hello? If you call in, be patient. I don't want to rush anyone. But Eileen, go ahead with where we were.
Oh, no, I was just going to read some of the comments on the quality of life questionnaire. And I think that Julie also wanted to mention that she does live on the other side. We have members from the Windward Coalition completely ringing Kaneohe Bay and then in areas that are on the hills above the water. And the problem is that the sound, it is like an amphitheater. It echoes. And when those jets were flying over in the last few weeks, the echo was unbelievable. It was over 90 and sometimes 100 decibels, and it was echoing. So you got that double whammy the first time, and then mm-hmm. it came back. Mm-hmm. I think you have another caller.
Good morning,
Aloha.
Caller. Yes, good morning.
Aloha.
Yes, go ahead.
Hello.
Hello, go ahead.
Hello, Carol?
Yes.
Hey, how's it? This is Kahu Ricky from Kailua.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I just want to talk about a few things. Basically, they have a noise complaint hotline, 257-8832 or 257-8838. So if you have any noise complaints about that, please call. It's very important. I have concerns about when they fly low, the infrastructure. Carol,
mm-hmm.
if
go ahead.
Airplanes crashed over the Kailua, over Lanikai, do you think we have the proper infrastructure to deal with the fatalities?
Fatalities.
You know, the loss of life and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have those facilities.
Mm-hmm.
The only place we have is Castle Hospital. And that they can accommodate maybe 30 people, they said, at most. And it's not trauma. So where are these people going to, you know, if a plane crashes, what's going to happen? You know, we need to also, you remember, Carol, when we cleaned up Bellows?
Right.
Well, how come they have a dump on the Marine base? And where's the permits for that?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, we how much money did we spend cleaning up Bellows? And there's three dump sites.
Right.
And now there's another dump site in Conway Bay. Where is the permits for that? How come, well, we got to clean that over next? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we have another important thing. I talked about suicides. You had a fellow talk about how do those people in base feel? Well, guess what? You know, right now we have some major issues. And again, Calvin Griffin is trying to deal with some of these veterans' issues. Suicides. What do you call it? Divorce. You know, these kids are on pharmaceuticals, okay? Just last month, July, there were 38 potential confirmed suicides in 1 month. And then 2012 through July, there's 187 potential confirmed suicides.
Now, where are we talking about? I don't want to give the impression that, are you suggesting they all occurring on Kaneohe Base?
No, this is also the Army. This is
okay,
Army,
well, let's be specific, okay, and okay. I don't want to be reckless our facts.
Reckless. That's not reckless. Look at the numbers.
No.
They had to close the base down.
I understand, but if we're talking about noise abatement at Kaneohe Marine Base, I just can't entertain someone calling them and telling me how many suicides occurring in the United States military.
Okay. Now, they're saying that right now there's 53,000 annual flights.
Okay.
It's going to increase in the next year to 79,000 annual flights. Okay. Right now, we're having, Eileen said, we have people from Ali'i Shores, Miki Ola Drive, representatives from Lilipuna, Kahalu Neighborhood Board, David Hinken, Aikahi Neighborhood Board, Bob and those guys, Kailua, Kailua, and the Yacht Club. And all these people are sending letters.
Okay.
And they're not getting proper responses, yeah?
Right, well.
Now, mm-hmm. Now, we have this lady, Maria Sito. She's writing a history book about Mokapu Peninsula.
Mm-hmm.
And she'd like to see it more of like a national a national monument.
Okay.
You know, that you know, like we're talking, that's a beautiful place.
Yeah.
You know, it's it needs to be protected. It's mm-hmm. very pristine.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and right now, you know, we're talking about ill permits, illegal pyrotechno shows and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, in 2008, we sent the Army... let me read this really fast. The fact that I didn't actually get the people this is about a meeting about people getting involved with the DEIS and the lack of response or what do you call it, into the community.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't given the proper message out in the community, so it's very important, again, that there's a lack
They, when you say they haven't gotten it out, who are we speaking, the military? Or?
Yes, the PAO.
Okay.
Yes. I'm talking about, this is in reference to the 208 draft for the squadron, the P squadron,
okay.
P squadron coming in.
Okay.
So, and basically we got like the message that there's going to be a meeting like weeks before the meeting, and hardly anybody knew about anything.
Well, this brings me to one point I like to stress, that we have a cadre of legislators that up and down that coast there in that area. What are they doing? I mean, I know they can't have control over the military, but the Simple Acts is requiring them to provide a list of flights. But I think, in my personal opinion and my observations, I think the trickle-down fear theory is in place at the Kaneohe Marine Base. And in fact, what is going on, I'll describe it as this, Akaka, Abercrombie and Hirano and others went and brought home the bacon and or the pork, and the others are to stand down and let the people fend for themselves. We can't allow that anymore. So I would say to you, and listen up, everybody, there is going to come an election. Don't forget that when that helicopter or that aircraft goes screaming by you, remember the Jill Takutas, the Jessica Woolies, the Laura Thielens, the Cynthia Thielens, and the Ken Itos. You might take this wrong, but I suggest that you start to incorporate these thoughts in your mind, because they have failed you, and there's absolutely, when the gentleman writes and says to me, and the show is not a place to discuss it, and I'll talk to the leaders. Who are the leaders? You can't find them. When you write to them, they tell you, we're looking in it. But they're not leaders. So remember this, folks. Think about your vote. And as I preach to you on this show, that's the most valuable thing you've ever possessed as an American. Not a gun, but your vote. That's why they pay in millions to advertise to get you, to trick you to vote for them. So remember that. Jill Takuta actually wrote a letter, and I have to, if we can, just read through a little bit of it and then just share with the community. Aloha Windward Coalition, our office contacted Tiffany Patrick to follow up on the increased noise level we have been experiencing as of late. We have been advised that F-18s, and listen to this now, we have been advised that F-18s from California are having training exercises on the Big Island and will be here through the beginning of February. Extended hours for tonight will be 3 a.m. This weekend will be from 8 a.m. to 10 p.m. The hours for next week have not been determined/released, but my office will be in contact with the Marine Corps base on Monday to follow up. In other words, she's going to contact them so that she can let you know to expect more noise, not to tell them to shut it off. But I know this is not happy news. Wow. But I wanted to be sure you had this information. Our office will keep talking with them about what options are available to make this as manageable as possible. In other words, suck it up, folks, and go back to sleep if you can, and dream on. This is Jill Takuda, the senator for that district, and shame on Senator. You shouldn't be a messenger for the military. They don't need to know when the noise is coming. They will be easily and for sure warned about it because they can't. You can't miss it. But anyway, guys, you have comments and.
I would excuse me, Carol. I'd like to. You just read that thing from Senator Akuta's office. And I saw a response back.
Takuda.
Takuda, excuse me.
Yeah, because Akuta may run, and we want to be fair. It may be the right person.
Oopsie.
But this is Takuda.
Okay. I'd like to read a response that I saw back to her from one of the residents in the Bay Area. Mm-hmm. And what the response back to the senator was, I would love to have you come spend the night at my house. Last night, the jets were being maintained, which involves revving their engine so loud that the house shakes. This happened at 12:28 a.m., 1:10, 4:11, 4:50, 5:20, 5:23, 5:30, 5:33, and 5:35 a.m. Each time they were testing the engines, it lasted for approximately 10 minutes, and there were few people that could have slept with such extremely loud noise. We also have a special needs child who has to get up at 6 a.m., No one in our house slept almost all night, and I had a really rough time with my child most of the night. I don't understand why they have to do maintenance at all hours of the night. I personally would like the military to provide some of us with decimal, and it goes on. But my point there mm-hmm. is that they, you know, we have special needs. I've seen letters from people with cancer. Mm-hmm. There's people with open heart surgery that the vibration does. My house and my rock walls are falling down from the bottom up. And so, you know, when I read this one, I was almost in tears mm-hmm. with this special needs child. I mean, mm-hmm. hoorah, you've done a lot for the community, but what about this?
Well, again, Senator Takuda, if you're out there, maybe unlike the colonel, maybe you think the Carol Cox Show is the proper place. So please feel free to call in or join us next week. I'm going to make this forum available to the coalition because there are other concerns, environmental, that have gone unnoticed, and we are not speaking to those. And that's a whole new ball of wax, like the gentleman mentioned. The landfill. There is a landfill on Kaneo Marine Base, but we're going to pick through this letter just briefly, and I'm going to answer the calls. Good morning, caller. Comment or question?
Oh, I one other comment. I called a couple times before, and I don't think we mentioned the fact that we had about a three-hour meeting with the commander last April in the tower up at Kaneo Marine Base, and we covered all aspects of this. And an important point is, at the end of the meeting, there were a few left in the room, and the colonel turned to us and said, I want you all to know that if this is a problem for you, this is a problem for me. And he hasn't converted that statement into fact, but I thought that was really, we felt so good about that. Said, oh, wow, now things are really going to happen. Nothing.
Well,
we had no constructive.
Well, you know, caller, he might be prophetic because it's going to be a problem for him.
Oh, yes.
You know, and we're going to make sure that it becomes a problem. How prophetic. You know, I like that. He can tell us the future.
Well, you know, I think the other thing is that letter that Eileen read earlier from the 1971 base commander of Marine Corps Base Hawaii. Yes, it was in 71. Yes, that was several decades ago. But the attitude, the spirit, I'll work with this. I have, the commanding officer said, I have my own noise control group on base. I have military on that group. And if they sense anything is going to come up which is going to be a problem for the community, they come to me and we sit down and we send out solutions and we let you know. And this little newsletter he sent out periodically, it was his confirmation of his direct involvement mm-hmm. in solving the problem.
Mm-hmm.
That attitude is one we have seen no indication of that attitude from the current commander.
Okay. Well, Thank you.
You bet. Bye.
Good morning, caller. You have a comment or question? Good morning. Anyway, go ahead, Julie.
You know, as I was listening to, you know, we thought we heard, and I wasn't in this meeting at all, because we have heated arguments at my house about what's right and what's not. But, you know, I was listening to this commitment and how everybody seemed to be excited about it. And then when I read this response back from the colonel to the Windward Coalition dated 28 December 2012, because of the emotion involved in the noise issue, the positive impacts from the base often go unnoted or are left out of the conversation entirely, since I believe it is intellectually dishonest not to consider the positive impact of MCB Hawaii on the entire island community. I submit this response discussing the positives that MCB Hawaii contributes to the Windward community. And then there's a whole list of hoorahs. But, you know, from making everybody in that meeting feel good to this statement in this letter, I'm shocked. I mean, we may be a good guy. I'm hearing we're a good guy, but that doesn't cut it.
Actually, the letter we wrote back absolutely does reflect our overall gratitude to the Marine Corps role, and we actually state that several times. So this, the letter he responded to, he didn't respond to. He probably responded to some noise complaint 20 years ago and just used that letter.
Caller, good morning. You have a comment or question? Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead. You have a comment or question?
Yeah, I'd like to bring up the point that there's been a lot of escalation in other services using flights over the bay. I live on the Kaneohe Bay off Lilipuna Loop, and we get the huge noise from the C-17s going overhead day and night. But as I listen to others, and as part of the Windward Coalition, I've come to understand there are all kinds of services using the Kaneohe Marine Base for flights.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder how all that is really coordinated. And do the Marines just have to take on anybody that says, hey, we're coming, like the F-18, say, yeah, we'll be here. We want to use your base because we're going to Big Island. Well, that's my comment.
Thank you. In regards to the environmental impacts and consequences, let me just share with you this. What was the term? NEPA prohibits. You can't now use. It's for the sake of, we sacrifice a few for the many.
That's right.
Well, speaking of sacrifices, and the colonel, and I mentioned this, the colonel raved about in his thing that he was good at, that the base was protecting birds. Let me share with the listeners out there, while the colonel is right, and I participate and go up and build nests and have done that for years and pull weeds and counted birds there, let me remind you, there's a little secret up there that goes on that the colonel didn't put in his letter when he boasted about the environment. There is the Laysan albatross, which is a native species, very beautiful, majestic bird, beautiful, and stands about, I'm going to say 3 feet tall if you extend, a little long, beautiful bird. Well, the colonel and the military has this desire because, quote, it may cause an accident, or and so they go up, and when there is an albatross who's trying to establish a colony there, like they used to native, naturally, they go and take the eggs up and addle them or destroy them or deliver them to UH, and they remove the adult bird. So, Colonel, when you talked about your success and what you do care about the environment, you omitted one, and that's just one of many that we have. And we don't know the real impacts of you flying over Nu'upia Pond and causing a disturbance in the endangered birds that are found there, such as the bristle-thighed curlew or the Hawaiian stilt, and that's just one of many. So I think that to describe this letter would simply be it was insensitive, meaning no meaning to it, and simply I think the colonel should have to stand down and go into a sensitivity training and realize that everyone has a boss, and that boss is the public. And until we see better letters and a quieting, I think this community is probably going to continue to complain and probably picket and do all kinds of things. I can't imagine what your limits are. Jim, anything?
I was just thinking about the this past year. I got a letter from there was a letter that was sent out from the Marines informing the area residents that the Marines would be conducting exercises in the Bay Area, the Kaneohe Bay Area, that involved aircraft mishaps. And that's good that they do that, because there's the possibility of an aircraft mishap, and hopefully it's not going to be overpopulated area. But they are doing these operations out there in the Bay, which is considered a recreational area for all of us. In the past 2 years, they had a helicopter. The Marines had a helicopter crash out there, and there was a fatality. And this crash occurred within a mile of the sandbar. If it had happened on the weekend, that sandbar gets real crowded on the weekend. If they're doing operations when it's crowded like that over weekends or holidays, there could be civilian injured out there, you know. So they shouldn't be flying out there on the weekend. It's one of the things.
Well, there's another caller. Caller, thank you for calling. You have another comment real quick? Anyway, real quick, we're coming down to the close. Any?
Yeah, Carol, I'd like to capitalize on a little bit of what Jim just said about the helicopter crash out there. I was looking out my window when it happened. It was a little dark at night. I could see another plane in the flight pattern with that helicopter and stuff. And, you know, I let the base know that I saw it, and nobody bothered to ask me anything. The news people did, but mm-hmm. not that base. So mm-hmm. it's like, again, if you don't tell us, then we don't know.
Good morning, caller. Real quick, you have a comment, a question.
Yeah, I just got a comment. You know, I was at the call earlier about being at the Kaneohe Neighborhood Board late last year. And Jill Takuda was there, Senator Jill, and I asked her for information right in front of everybody. What is her contact information? She said, I'll give it to you afterwards. She didn't want to give it out to the whole public meeting over there, and mm-hmm. she came up to me and whispered in my ear, and I'm visually impaired and blind. I can't write anything, so I had to record her voice. But, you know, it's pathetic that she don't want to give it out to everybody there so they can contact her and give their information, you know. She's a public official.
Well, don't remind her of that.
Yeah, I didn't vote for her, Carl. This last election.
I don't mean to be mean-spirited, but I know the reality of what's transpiring over there, what's going on. The people are not inventing these noises or manufacturing these claims. These are real claims. I have played some on the show, and the other night I was talking to Eileen, and my God, I could not hear her, and I'm not exaggerating.
Yeah.
I could not hear her, and she's a half a mile away from the sound.
Yeah,
at least.
So anyway.
Yeah. Thank you, Carol.
Thank you.
Good topic.
Anyway.
Okay. Can I just make one other statement? You know, I don't like to be deceived or lied to, mm-hmm. and I feel like I get a lot of that from the military when I speak to the various ones over there, like Pamela Marshall at the board meeting, and go ahead. You want to get that? And then the Tiffany Patrick. I believe I had a conversation with mm-hmm. her. And I was talking about the vibration of my house over by Heiakea Pier. And she said, what vibration? I said, did you include it in your impact study? And she goes, do you mean when the jets fly, they cause the waves to bump against your wall there and it vibrates your house? I don't even think she gets that noise from the jets just shakes like an earthquake.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Good morning, caller. Real quick, we're coming down to the line here.
Hello?
Yes.
Hello. Yeah. I'm talking in reference about the Kailua Neighborhood Board does not have a representative at the civilian military meetings on base.
Okay.
And they've done that for, I think, 3 or 4 months already, and I'm wondering why they don't have a representative. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. Aloha. Anyway, guys, real quick, in closing, we're coming down the last couple of minutes. Jim, you have any closing?
No, just we pretty much covered it. The big complaint is the noise, the times that the noises are occurring, and we know they can do better. They it certainly was a lot quieter when the president was here. So enough said.
That was my little note here to say, isn't it funny when Obama went to Pyramid Rock, it was quiet. Mm-hmm. He could hear the waves.
Yeah.
Eileen?
Okay, well, my summary is let's please remember that this is not anti-patriotic. I can read something very quickly from a writer. Questioning noise from military flights is not a commentary on patriotism. The military itself acknowledges its need to limit aircraft noise over populated areas that supposedly has a flying neighborly policy. We bless the Marines and all military members for serving the United States, but we also bless Hawaii's clean water, wondrous land, and clean and quiet skies. Mm-hmm. So be a good neighbor. We are who you serve. You're fighting for us, and we have a right to a peaceful environment.
Well, thank you. And my fight and my interest is I don't live there, but the environment. And then I'm motivated when I hear the lady that calls the senior citizen there, and you could hear in her voice. And there's no one to listen to her because everyone that should be playing referee is actually alerting you that expect more noise, like Senator Takuda. The neighborhood boards, I don't know. I have no idea what's going on there. But I'm reminded that most of them are politically motivated, and one or two of them at every one of them either plant from the city or have interest, and they're not going to cross swords with the military because, again, these are the pork keepers. So if we can penetrate that, I think we'll bring some calm to the bay. And maybe the Endangered Species Act will have to be come into play here because the birds there and the increase in the invitation of visitors to fly in and dodge in and dart in and what have you may have an impact. There's not been any assessments, and they're pushing it up. And by the way, this mud ops that they talk about, that is really no science behind it. I've watched them for years. I've filmed them. That's where young boys get to use their equipment and run around in the tracks and bury the pickle weeds, and you go back out there and you try to make sense of it. In fact, the pickle weeds are spread by the tracks of the vehicle. So, Colonel, I'm going to invite you onto the show, and I don't mean to be disrespectful. I admire any military person, and thank you all again for listening. And, again, Wednesday.
The website. I just wanted to reiterate. Survey. We would love you all to fill out the survey. If you have not, we're going to give it to our congressional representatives. And it is at windwardcoalition.org, homepage. Fill it out. Thank you.
And then a parting comment is that also Representative Jessica Woolley, or Senator, you too have laid down on the job. And I say to you, you need to step up to the plate. I understand you seeking or have your eyes on the governorship. You can't get there until you work with the people. And I think this bunch of people are going to hold people's feet to the fire. Just a little warning. So aloha, and thank all of you for joining.
Thank you.
This is KWAI Honolulu, 1080 on the AM dial.
This is KWAI, Honolulu, 1080 on the AM dial.